Rush set it down, so the single was 45. No score first quarter. Bradford operates in the gun. Fourth and less than one from the St. Louis 2-yard line. Grant showing blitz. Takes the snap.
Wow, what a great rush. Right up the middle.
Tackles 45.
Perfectly timed blitz from the backside.
Chris Long again. Caught. Kickoff.
Grabs football.
Touchdown, Steven Jackson.
Hi, Rams fans. Welcome to What to Watch. I'm Steve Savard, your voice of the Rams, along with my 101 ESPN and Rams radio colleagues Rick Venturi and DeMarco Farr. And we're going to take a look at the Rams matchup against the Jets at the Edward Jones Dome. But first, we take a look back at an exciting roller coaster ride of a Sunday afternoon at Candlestick Park. And guys, you see progress, no question. You see progress. In fact, Rick, I think it was probably, given the circumstances, given the team you're playing, given recent history in that park, probably one of the best Rams performances in a while, even with the self-inflicted wounds that cost you a victory at the end of the day.
Yeah, on the one hand, it was tremendously encouraging. I mean, you got to think that you were that far away from being 3-0 in the NFC West and beating San Francisco in San Francisco. Frustrating from the standpoint that the way we gave it away, that it was, you know, it was tough that way. But I agree with you. I thought that it was a terrific performance. Unfortunately, they didn't get the win. Defense for three quarters was tremendous. But this is my own personal opinion. I've been here since 06. I've played here before that a lot. I thought that considering the 49ers defense and their reputation, I think this may have been the best offensive performance that I've seen the Rams have until you go way back to the glory days. I really believe that because they were flawless. They played good enough to win. They went down and scored in the fourth quarter, which should have been the winning touchdown. So I just think it was terrific.
Yeah, DeMarco, the offensive line, you have to tip your cap to. They took it to one of the best front sevens, certainly one of the most physical front sevens in football.
One of the strongest D-lines out there. I mean, when you talk about Willis, Navarro, Bowman, the fastest backers that you're going to see, and the first couple of blocks, pancake blocks, Justin Smith on his back. I mean, big guys going down. Steven Jackson running with reckless abandon. You see the balance in the offense. Run first. It dictates coverage. You let Danny Amendola go loose back there. Bradford and Amendola are on a different page than everyone else. So if you run the football, establish coverage, you can attack this defense.
Interesting that I bring this up with the Jets in town weekend. I credit Brian Schottenheimer. I think all season long he's done a nice job to coax as many points and yards as he can out of this offense. But I thought his game plan and his adjustments on Sunday were very good. And I think it's a little bit like, for the Jets fans, it was a little bit like Pat Shurmur was here in 2010. I'm not sure the Rams fans at the time understood the job Pat Shurmur did with what he had to get 18 points a game out of that offense. Maybe the same thing can be said for Brian Schottenheimer now in retrospect in New York with what he had to work with.
Well, if you ask Jet fans today, now they really miss him. Because
isn't that the way it usually goes? Always.
That switch that they made, whether they got forced to make it or not, thank God for the Rams that you got Schottenheimer. I've said that all season long, even games where the numbers weren't really good, I thought that he's done a great job of maxing out issues. It's not the most talented offense in the world. It really isn't. But basically, he's maxed them out almost every week. And then Sunday, they just kind of put it all together. They actually got the execution. They got the points on the board. And one thing that I've learned is Amendola means everything to this team. You know, not only is he a super talented kid, I mean, I think he's the best slot. He wore Carlos Rogers out.
Oh, my gosh.
He'll drive him out of the league if he keeps playing. But he not only is a talented guy in there that makes plays, but, you know, usually you think of quarterbacks elevating teams. I think his presence, I think he elevates the team.
Well, I think there's no question about it. I asked you guys last week before the game, how much impact can Danny make coming back after missing 3 weeks? Well, the answer, we know now. He means just about everything to this offense, as it's presently constructed.
I don't think there's any doubt about it. It's just a totally different team. And DeMarco said it earlier. Sam is very smart quarterback. He doesn't put it in bad places. And someday I'd like to see him take a few more chances, actually, as he gets older. But the one guy that he will take the chance to is Amendola, and thus you get a lot of big plays.
I can't wait to see Givens and Amendola out there running at the same time. That's going to be a lot of fun.
It'll be fun. Brian Quick came up with a big play in Givens' absence last week. DeMarco, let me talk about the defense. They played five quarters. In four of the quarters, I thought it was really good defensive football. You needed stops in the fourth quarter, and you couldn't get it. I know Colin Kaepernick running around was the wild card there, but if you come up with one more stop in the red zone, you come away with a win.
We've said that a lot this year. One more stop, you win in Detroit. One more stop, you win in San Francisco. I mean, Colin Kaepernick just kind of exposed what we said was the problem pretty much week in and week out. You let these quarterbacks have these escape routes. Tom Brady's not going to escape to run. He's going to escape to throw. He did that in London. Aaron Rodgers is going to exploit you either way. Kaepernick did it with his legs. If you let these quarterbacks get out and around and exploit your pass rush, they're going to take advantage of your secondary. Kaepernick did it running. Now, this week, Mark Sanchez is a escape to throw type of guy. These defensive ends, Robert Quinn, Chris Long, have to learn that if you take these wide hoops to the quarterback, they're going to find a way out.
But it's also on the guys in the middle, too, to maintain your rush integrity lanes, right?
You gotta communicate. I got to look. Hey, Chris Long has to tell Langford, I'm going upfield on this block. Cover me. If he steps up, be there. On the other side with Quinn and Brockers, I'm going upfield. Don't take an inside move, because if you do, there's going to be a huge lane he's going to escape through there. So you got to be on the same page, or game it. Run games in there and keep that quarterback controlled in the pocket.
All right, we've talked about how encouraged we are by the Rams' performance, but there's some things to clean up. And chief on top, number one on that list, penalties. 13 penalties. We know the ones that were really costly to the Rams, but 13, too many. That's got to get cleaned up going forward.
Well, it's 13, and it's 43 in 4 weeks. So it is a trend. I'm sure Jeff's going to address this. This is, you got to take him to the woodshed on this. You can't continue. And particularly, you have way too many pre-snap penalties, delay penalties. You're not lined up correctly on a play. And to me, those are critical. Those have nothing to do with talent. And it's fixable. The good news is it's fixable. But I think you got to address it really quick and get that done. You can't keep giving away games that way.
But you can beat on a team, but not, you can emphasize that without taking away its aggressiveness?
Yeah, because these are really not, I mean, like on the punt return, you know, that stuff happens.
Right.
I mean,
you sure. It's sure a judgment call, split second decision.
You don't want it to
decision.
Happen. I mean, sometimes unnecessary roughness, a head to the hat, those bang-bang play happen. Pre-snap penalties, you know, delay penalty, those are discipline things.
Right.
That has got to stop. To me, Steve, it has nothing to do with talent or aggressiveness.
Stay tuned, because when we come back, we'll talk about what the Rams offense can do to build on what was a very good performance against a tough 49ers defense. That's next on What to Watch. Welcome back to What to Watch alongside Rick Venturi and DeMarco Farr. I'm Steve Savard. Jets are in town. Rams and Jets Sunday, high noon at the Edward Jones Dome. And guys, and DeMarco, let me start with you. This Jets defense, I don't recognize some of the numbers associated with it, particularly yards rushing per game, 145 yards rushing against 30th in the league. And when they've been gashed, I mean, they've been gashed. Four games of 170 yards or better, including a game in which they gave up 247 yards rushing to the 49ers. What's going on with the Jets defense?
Well, the one thing I don't recognize is they're not as aggressive as they used to be. When you watch them up front, talking about their D-line first, they play what I call lazy technique. That's not a bad thing. They just play back into blocks. When you work through those guard-tackle combos, they just let the guard off and play back into the tackle. So I think cutback running is going to be huge. It's been hurting them all year. So what you see is guys getting on those linebackers, they get shoved right by the hole, and there's a huge lane there for those guys to run through, those running backs to run through. So I think Richardson might have a huge day. Steven Jackson, do what you did last week. Put your head down and just run through these guys. But not as aggressive. And I think their technique might be falling off. Dare I say they got old in 1 year? Because that's what it looks like. They're not the same aggressive Jets defense.
Well, what's interesting is they've lost their best player on defense, Darrelle Revis. He's out. But they're not getting necessarily gashed through the air, 204 yards. They're giving up most of the damage on the ground at 145 a game. What do you expect Rex Ryan to do coming in here to try to stop the tide?
Well, I agree with DeMarco. The amazing thing about watching the Jets defense, other than the fact that they're physical but slow, they're very slow. And I think the pass stat is misleading, because when you're running the ball on people, you just don't need to throw it a lot because they've got pass liabilities, particularly Wilson. But here's what I anticipate. I think Rex, who is a smart defensive coach, is going to look at this team. He's going to look at the Rams gash the 49ers running. I think you're going to see a heavy dose of the old 46 defense that his dad actually invented. They play a lot of it, but I look for a dose of it. That is, Steve, take those ends and cover them down with the nose tackles. So give you a front, walk the safety up, run the backers to the ball, and to try to stop that run on first down. I don't think he can come in here, because DeMarco's right. You just don't see the pressure package that you used to see. And technically, they're not playing very good. They're just playing thick, but not very good. So look for that 46 package. And then Rex, as opposed to the Niners, is a man-to-man coach rather than a zone coach. Look for them to double Amendola. You got to stop the run and double Amendola. So as DeMarco said also earlier, Givens, Quick, somebody else is going to have a major role because they've got coverage problems. You take Cromartie out of there, I mean, they've got liabilities in coverage.
I used to be excited watching them on tape, watching that defense.
Right.
Now I get bored. It's just, they're just so flat. They're not like they used to be.
Interesting that you mentioned other guys. When you mentioned the other guys, you mentioned Chris Givens. You mentioned Brian Quick. We got a first look at the potential last week, what the Rams saw in drafting him 33rd overall. Big physical guy. He got off coverage, shook free, and then used the stiff arm to get in the end zone. Should we be seeing more of this on a regular basis?
Well,
can
I
we expect to see it?
He only played 7 plays. I think they've got to accelerate his development. I think he's got to play a lot more than that. What you've seen in Givens, which you cannot coach, is speed.
Mm-hmm.
He's 5 plays over 50 yards because he can top a defense. If you can't run, you're not going to top a defense. What I've seen in Quick from the beginning, and we know there's limitations in terms of his background, is a power forward type red zone guy. And you saw it right there. When they tried to jam him, he took that left hand and knocked the guy on the ground. He's not going to be a speed guy like Givens, but I think he's potentially that big possession red zone type of guy. And I think the only way you're going to do it, the only way you're going to see it, is to accelerate the play.
That's old school. One of mine will beat one of yours, or two of yours.
Let's hear what the Rams players and coaches have to say about the matchup against the Jets defense.
It's a fun week. You know, you got so many relationships back there, and looking forward to seeing those guys and competing against those guys. And it's going to be a great challenge, and looking forward to it. I really feel like, you know, hey, that's a good football team. They're passionate. Rex is passionate. And, again, I have a hard time keeping up with it all. I got my own things I'm dealing with here. But I know one thing. They're passionate the way they play. They're passionate the way they coach. And they're a passionate group.
They're a very dangerous team. Yeah. They played some tough opponents very well. Last week, we all know how hard it is to play in Seattle. They didn't score a point offensively, but it was a very close game going into the fourth quarter.
They're multiple in the looks that they're going to give us. They do a lot of different things. You know, we're going to have to be prepared for, the different looks that we could get from them. You know, I think that's going to be one of our biggest challenges this week, is just making sure that, we're very well prepared so nothing they do on Sunday throws us off.
They're aggressive, but at the same time, they're a very smart defense. They do a lot of different things to try to confuse you as an offensive unit, multiple defensive fronts, multiple pressures. So we got to make sure that we're all on the same page with Sam and seeing the same thing, and just trust, the rules of each and every protection.
When we come back, we'll talk about what the Rams defense has to do to keep the Jets offense on the skids. That's next on What to Watch. Welcome back to What to Watch with Rick Venturi and DeMarco Farr. I'm Steve Savard. Jets and Rams on Sunday at the Edward Jones Dome. And guys, this Jets offense has struggled. They're howling in New York. And Mark Sanchez is the guy taking most of the heat. It's not unusual for a quarterback to do that. But they've been on Mark Sanchez's backside for a couple of years now. Is it fair? Is it all on Mark Sanchez, Rick?
Well, it's certainly not all on Sanchez. I always thought Sanchez was an average quarterback that needed a lot of people around him to be good. He can do some things. As DeMarco said, he can move. He can do some things on the run, but I don't think he's by any stretch an elite guy to start with. But the supporting cast has just so diminished. When they lost Holmes, they lost the one big play guy they got. So what they really have right now is about 3 guys, skill guys on offense. They've got Sean Green, who's an excellent runner. And then you've got 2 receivers. You've got Curley, who basically is a possession guy in the slot, and you got Keller, which is doing the same thing. So he's really, he's not throwing to a lot of really good people. There's no big time guys on that team. To me, you know, you stop Green's run and you stop those two guys on third down, the right tackle is a liability on protection, and you get after him and go.
All right, DeMarco, it's a copycat league. Coaches say that all the time. Colin Kaepernick brought the 49ers back in the fourth quarter with his legs. He gained 66 yards rushing in the game against the Rams in relief of Alex Smith. So how likely, based on that, are we to see more of Tim Tebow? The Jets haven't used him much. He certainly hasn't been much of a factor. Will we see more than our share of Tebow?
I would say you should prepare for Tim Tebow, because I think, like Coach said, getting after Mark Sanchez, that's a must, and it's going to happen. And I'll say this, great quarterbacks are good conductors. It seems like the offense conducts him. He's either a step too fast or a step too slow with his read. So at some point, you're going to see Tim Tebow, especially if you look at the film and see what Colin Kaepernick did to the Rams. So, but if you're Chris Long, if you're James Laurinaitis, if you're on the Rams defense, you hope they run Wildcat. You can stop that. You can absolutely get after him. He's a good running quarterback. He's a good Wildcat quarterback. But if he gets stuffed, which he will,
right,
then what? And you bring Sanchez back in the game, well, you're just telling everybody you can't run it. We're going to throw it. You get after Sanchez again, and the game's over.
So from a coach's perspective, Rick, putting a game plan together, how much attention do you have to give to the Tebow factor this week in preparing for the Jets?
I think you have to, because their back is to the wall, and they can't throw the ball. So, I mean, and really, when they signed Tebow, I envisioned Tebow being in the game 30% of the time, spreading you out, running the Wildcat plays. That has never come to fruition. He plays a handful of plays. Sanchez is struggling. There's nobody to throw to. Why not at least give a – if they're going to beat the Rams, they're going to have to run to beat them. They're not going to beat them passing the game.
Yeah.
And so you're going to run regular stuff with Sean Green. Now you go to 30%, 35% with him. I don't think you have anything to lose. Matter of fact, if I were them, I would go to – I would do what Denver did a year ago. I'd go Full Metal Jacket and try to save my job with the Florida offense.
Full Metal Jacket, meaning you play Tebow down in and down
out. Not that he's ever my lifetime quarterback.
Understood.
I would do exactly what Denver did. Get 8 wins out of him and he's gone.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I would consider that at this point.
The numbers for the Jets offense, very modest. 30th in total yards, 27th passing yards, 16th rushing the football, and 24th scoring 19 points a game. Let's hear what the players say about the matchup against the Jets offense.
Yeah, we see a team with a quarterback who can make all the throws. I mean, he does a good job of getting the ball out. Got a physical back. Reminds you a little bit of the guy we just played, who's a damn good running back. And their offensive line is really, overall, a really good line. So we just need to try to be as physical as possible and play the run. And you know, try to get Mark off his rhythm. But he's a good player. You can't take anybody lightly in this league. Not only do I think they're a good football team and they're better than their record, they're going to be really hungry, and they're going to be, you know, really playing for a lot. I know each game means a lot to them, and they'll come in here hungry.
You know, the Jets are, you know, a very well-coached football team. They're a football team that's very physical. They run the ball, and of course now you know what Mark Sanchez, you know, has been the quarterback that's taken them to two AFC championship games. He can throw the ball also. I mean, we've got our work ahead of us, Jim. We really do. Tebow has played. He's played for him, and they clearly have a package for him. And so we'll you know, we've played, you know, those types of packages before already this year. I mean, you know, we were the first ones to, you know, I mean, we had to get ready for RG3, and we had to. So, you know, we'll prepare for what they do.
When we come back, we'll examine the keys to victory for the Rams, who are looking for their fourth win at the Edward Jones Dome. That's next on What to Watch. Welcome back to What to Watch. In this last segment, we'll discuss the keys to victory for the Rams against the Jets. And Rick, let me start with you. As a coach, if you're Jeff Fisher this week, you're telling your ball club, never mind your own headlines, don't read the headlines about the Jets, because that's a recipe for disaster, right?
Absolutely. If I'm Jeff Fisher, I'm saying there's three things that are important this week. Number one, you got to play with the physicality you did at San Francisco. This team, the Rams team, will win when they out-physical the opponent. They're not a finesse team. You got out-physical. But number two, you got to play smarter. You're not playing smart. You have too many penalties. Mm-hmm. You're having too many things go wrong. But the third thing is be prepared for nothing less than a 60-minute dogfight. Like you say, don't worry about the Jets' dysfunction. That's all.
Don't believe everything you've heard.
That's not going to happen.
It's going to be a desperate football team,
right? Yeah, they're desperate. I've seen dysfunctional teams play really good. Individual matchups are totally different. I thought the Rams would match up better against the Niners than they did against the Patriots. Mm-hmm. So it's going to all be on the line here this week. So, you know, I think you've got to – if you – just because you've come off of three elite teams – don't for one second think that this isn't going to be a 60-minute dogfight.
No, I've been desperate. I've been dysfunctional. And I've been in the situation where my head coach is going to get fired. When your head coach gets fired, 60% of the locker room goes with him. So you're going to fight for that.
That's a great point.
Yeah, you're going to have to get out there and fight. And just be professional about your job. Attention to detail. Know where you need to line up. Make sure you snap the football on time. Don't do anything that's going to hurt the football team on the field.
Keep getting the football out.
We
saw four balls on the ground finally. Unfortunately, somehow, the bounces went the 49ers' way. But keep poking at that football. You got to win the turnover battle eventually here. And to me, the other key is, look, you have an offense that's struggling. Don't gift wrap field position. Don't give the ball away. Make this offense go 60, 70, 80, 85 yards to beat you, because at best they're probably going to get field goals here. Do not give them a short field.
No doubt about it, because like I said, to beat you, they have to run the ball to beat you. If you stop Sean Green, if you bottle him up, make the passing game your best friend. When they go back to pass, that's when you have all the advantages in the world against this team, and that's when you can make Sanchez have really struggle.
And get the crowd into it. Make it loud. Make it loud so they can't hear it. Then get after them.
Get out to an early lead like you did in San Francisco, mm-hmm. and then let the crowd get into it. Guys, looking forward to it. It'd be nice to see the Rams bounce back and get back in the win column. For DeMarco Farr and Rick Venturi, I'm Steve Savard. Thanks for tuning in to What to Watch. Remember, Rams and Jets, high noon at the Edward Jones Dome on Sunday. You can tune into 101 ESPN for the call. Pre-game starts at 9 a.m. Thanks for tuning in. Enjoy the game.
An RBN production.